other plan, and some of these extra outlines that we've been starting on or looking at are all that stand in the back. So this is kind of the third lesson in the series. The title lesson, as you can see, is Members One of Another. Now I'm going to use every verse in the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 12, but just take four of the key passages, or at least some of the highlights of that chapter. And with you having the notes, I hope you'll read the whole section at your leisure, and kind of you'll fill in the blanks. But by way of introduction, in Romans 12, verse 5, it says, "We who are many are one body, individually, members one of another." So the Apostle Paul uses a very unique illustration, meaning the human body, to declare a spiritual message. And in that spiritual message, he's declaring with that visual our relationship to God and to one another. You look in both directions. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27, he says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." We're all a part of that spiritual body. And in his letters to Romans and the Corinthians and the Ephesians and the Colossians, Paul uses that term body to illustrate how the members are to function over 30 times. Just that word body. In 1 Corinthians 12, in our text tonight, the word body is used at least 15 times, at least with the King James translation. So just that single word body, just in these few verses, 15 or 16 times. So there is a similarity between how the physical body works and how the spiritual body of Christ, the church, is to work or to function. And it establishes, again, a relationship to God and to one another. So I put in your notes, there are at least four lessons on body life. There's more. But we're just going to key on these four. Number one, from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, says, "For the body is not one member, but many." I'll give you a little visual. I have these books in my library. This one's called Visual of the Human Body. And just in the introduction, or the content, look there. All there's a chapter on each one of these: head, body organs, cells, skeleton, skull, spine, bones and joints, muscles, hands, feet, skin, hair, brain, eye, ear, nose, mouth, throat, teeth, heart, respiratory, urinary, reproductive, development of a baby, and so on. Just body parts. There's a lot of them. And then in each chapter, you know, gives a but it gives a visual. Look at all these body parts, and in our lesson this evening, it's going to show our relationship, because we're all a body part, not physically, but we're all a body part, and we need to work together and function as one body. And that kind of gives you an idea of it. Also, in another book I have, when I was teaching full time, there would always be Scholastic group or somebody come by and leave a lot of books in the staff lounge. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have kids one of these days, and grandkids. And so I thought, stop calling books, and so that's where these came from. But even on this one, in the human body, it just gives you a picture by picture, and, you know, list off. So you can see different parts of the body, how they work, and when they overlap each other. I'm going to give a lesson on each one. But many, and so we who are many are one body in Christ. And each of these parts that it mentions, that Paul mentions here, we work together. We function as one body. So verses 15 through 19, didn't quote these in your notes, but I have them in my notes. But here's what Paul said. "If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body.'" Get the picture. The foot says, "Hey, I'm not a hand. I must not be part of the body." He says, Is it therefore not of the body? Rhetorical question. Of course it is. But the foot is not the hand. He says, then if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Oh, yes, it is. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Good illustration or question. If the body was just one member, the same member, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work efficiently. It wouldn't work at all. if all of us were the same body part, if all of us were an eye, how would we get around? Well, we'd have to roll. But there's nobody there to push us. You're an eye. And when you got to where you think you want to get to, you can't talk about it. All you can do is see. You're an eye. You can't smell the flowers. You're an eye. So if all of us were the same, we wouldn't work efficiently. We wouldn't work at all. If we're all hands, we couldn't see. We couldn't talk. We couldn't hear. Walk. We're all the same. If we were all mouth. Yeah, I know, don't point. We would talk, but nobody could hear. If everybody were a mouth. So all of us have different looks, different functions. Now, I know, like Clarence said, I know what you're thinking. Well, I know who the armpit in the body is. Or I know who, Clarence, I know who the mouth is. Those kinds of things. So, but don't point. So Paul just says no member in the spiritual body is to feel that he's not part of the body. Merely because you do not do what somebody else does not eliminate you or me from the body. That's his point number one in our lesson tonight. We are members one of another. Not one member. We're many. We're many. Number two, verse 20. Now there are many members, but one body. So now we're going to look at it differently. Now one body. So I put in your definitions for one, the definition of one, a single thing or unit. The dictionary says not two or more. Like that definition of one. What does one mean? Not two or more. It's characterized by unity. One. It's forming a whole or an undivided item. Another dictionary definition for the word one was solitary. You play that game, don't you? You play with a partner? You made somebody look over your shoulder and say, move that over there. But no. It's designed to play by yourself. One. It means without others. One. So we know that the Bible says the body is the church. It's Christians. It's one another. It's brethren. It's us. All of us, all of these many members, like we have here tonight, are one body. Remember when Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church. I will do that. I will build my church. Well, Ephesians 2, verse 22 says God, referring to God, has put all things under his feet, gave him, meaning Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is the body. That's us. In Colossians 1, verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. When we think about one body, we are to be one church composed of many members, body parts. And not all of us have the same function. We don't look alike, and we don't do things alike. But the church, with its many members, is to function like a body. In verses 4 through 6 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, all but the same Spirit. Diversities of administrations, all but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. Same. So just as our physical body takes direction from the head, so does the spiritual body take its direction from its spiritual head, meaning Jesus, and Jesus is Lord of the body. That means our body is not to be maverick, run off by itself. Body part, if something's wrong, we go see the doctor if one of our body parts doesn't function with the rest. See? Something's wrong. It's not working vital the way it's designed. And Ephesians 4 verse 3 says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the next phrase is, there is one body and one Lord God. Baptist. One body. Romans 12 verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the office, they different parts. So that's point number two. Number one, you have many members. But second, that's one body. We work together. We work together. Number three, in verse 22. I put 21 in here, though. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I can't say that. So I saw this article years and years ago, and I thought if I read it, you can't get it. So I had to put it in print on your notes. In your notes. And the only difficulty in typing this is you can't type the word, you have to just look at the letters and type that way, or you get mixed up. So the title of it is Everyone is Needed. Hope I can read this. Even though my typewriter is an old model, it works well except for one of the keys. I wish many times that it worked perfectly. It is true that there are 43 keys that function well enough. But just one makes the difference. Sometimes it seems to me that our organization is somewhat like my typewriter. Not all the people are working properly. You may say to yourself, well, I'm only one person. I won't make or break a program. But it does make a difference, because any program to be effective needs the active participation of every member. So the next time you think that you are only one person and that your efforts are not needed, remember my typewriter and say to yourself, I am a key person in our organization and I am needed very much. Anytime I don't work right, it sure makes a difference. One key out of place. One key. So next time, then, of course, that lesson is, the next time you think you're not important, look at that typewriter. Just one key out of 43. So Paul said in verse 21, no, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak are necessary. Wow. The members that seem feeble or weak are necessary. See, I need my little toe on my foot. I need my fingernail. I need that funny bone. I don't know why, but I need it. You know, or my elbow and things like that. So Romans 12, go back to a different chapter, but Romans 12 verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, now I say it to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. See, everyone is needed. And the one standing up here cannot say to the one sitting out there, I don't need you. The one sitting beside another or across the aisle cannot say or shout out to them, I don't need you. Mm-mm. Everyone is needed. So just do what you're supposed to do. Again in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. Just same thing. Having having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, whether prophecy, let's prophesy according to the force of faith, or ministry, let's wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love, and then he goes on, and the list continues in here, don't stop with just right there, but even there, let love be without dissimulation, or be sincere, and the list continues. All those different things. We just need to do what we're supposed to do. And we have organs in our physical body that we call vital, and I never see them working. They're not visible, but they're vital. The medical profession calls them that. Necessary vital organs. So they work unseen. We need them. So remember, just as God designed the physical body with a variety of parts, all necessary, the spiritual body is the same. All of us do not do the same task. You know, Matthew 10, verse 42, Jesus speaks of a cup of cold water only. You know, my feet are made for walking. I need my hands to hold my bowl of ice cream. You know, my feet don't fight with my hands to see who gets to feed my face. But the feet are okay with walking. They let the hands go ahead and feed my face. Or whatever else. There's no fighting between the body parts. Same thing in the spiritual body of the church. We shouldn't be upset because of what somebody else does or is able to do. So even in our friendship, our fellowship, our worship, everyone is essential. Everyone. So remember, our body's not made up of just one part, and one part does not do it all. Don't ever think that you can bow out of your job or your talent or your opportunity at any time and it's not going to affect somebody else in the congregation. You think, oh, what is it going to hurt if I don't show up? Somebody is going to miss you. What's it going to hurt if I don't make the phone call? Somebody is going to know that phone call. There was a phone call that was not made. So don't ever think that you can bow out of your job or your talent or your opportunity at any time and no one else is going to be affected. Write this one down, but there's a verse, I think it's in Romans 14, verse 7. No one lives to themselves and no one dies to themselves. Nobody. So all of us are valuable and all of us are needed. That's point number three. Had another song with this we sang all afternoon. Just add this to your notes and keep it, and I'll give you back the extras. I'll use them again later. But the title of the song is Room in God's Kingdom. And just the words fit this section, point number three in your notes. So now we're going to go to point number four. So you can just read those when you get a chance, and you've gained the lesson or the point of point number three in your notes. So then point number four. In fact, we'll just read the verse, the stanzas. So stanza number one. There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Just a small kindly deed that may cheer another is the work God has planned for you. Second stanza. Just a cup of cold water in His name given may the hope in some heart renew. Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven, to the work God has planned for you. Third stanza. There's a place in the service of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. Can't you say to Him now, I'll leave the shirkers, and the work Thou hast planned, I'll do. There's room in the kingdom. There's a place in the kingdom of God for you. There is room, there's a place, there's a work that we all can do. That's for point number three. Then last one, number four. Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division members should have the same one for another, the same care. What I show this one, I need to show that one. Same care. You see, God created a body, physically and spiritually, that's designed to function in unity. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you." He wants all these parts to function as one body. No division. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. And he says, "For it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, that by them of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." That's not a compliment. Of course, the unifying item in the body is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for four things: doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That's the union. That's the unification. That's SOP. Standard operating procedures. That's the manual. That's the guide. That's the code. That's what keeps us together. That's the lesson. So I know it's not long this evening, but that's the lesson this evening. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of nation. Now, remember the New Testament church. I'm not sure there's anyone this evening that is not. You certainly have that opportunity to obey the gospel, being baptized, or if you want brethren to pray with you or for you, we can certainly answer that request also. So let's stand together and sing this song of encouragement.